Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading from the New International Version. This is God's Word. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. "By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling.
This letter is written to believers who are suffering and who are weary of suffering and who are being tempted to be unfaithful, to turn away. And this letter exhorts them from first to last to stay the course, to run the race, not to give up. But it is written in the context of people who believed the gospel and now were wondering, is it worth it? Do I need to keep this up when they take away my property, when they rob me of the ability to make a living, when some of our brothers and sisters have been beaten and some of them have been killed? It's costly to follow Jesus. And so, is it worth it? Well, that's the context. In that context, they are first pointed to Jesus. If you look at the way the letter is formed, the focus is on Jesus. But then they're reminded in this passage of the necessity of this thing called faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The nature of biblical faith is, first of all, the fact that it is essential in order to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not more difficult to please God. It is not less likely that you'll please God. It is impossible to please God apart from faith. So would that make it essential? Absolutely. Faith is absolutely essential, but the kind of faith we're talking about that pleases God is a faith that is not just something you feel. It's not Kierkegaard and a leap of faith, kind of a blind, you know, let's just cross our fingers, close our eyes, and step out into the darkness. No. It is cognitive. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. We realize that all the stuff we can see was brought about by a God out of nothing. God made everything from nothing. He didn't need anything else. Everything that exists is because of Him. At our camp, kids ask from time to time, well, yeah, where did God come from? God has always been. How is that possible? Well, I understand why a little child would have that question. Everything else they look at has a starting point. So it would seem that God must also. But when you understand that God is the creator of all things, suddenly it makes sense that He's the only thing who has always been. Everything else has a starting point. We understand this by faith. We weren't there. I'm old, but not that old. Okay? It is cognitive. It involves truths that we understand. And we could even say, if you look at verse 6, it is creedal. Now, we recited the Apostles' Creed this morning, or we read the Apostles' Creed this morning. I thought that was a wonderfully refreshing thing for a Baptist church to do. It wasn't at my request, but I was delighted. Why? Because what we believe isn't kind of whatever we felt like when we got up this morning. There are certain things that, regardless of the circumstances in our life, we know to be true. My wife and I have been married since 1975. We're not just married on the days we feel like it. Ooh. Yeah, I guess I'll be married today. No, we're married. We know that. And when it comes to the truths of God's Word, who He is, who Jesus is, what He's done for us, those are non-negotiables. Those are essential doctrines. And we share those in common with all other believers, the church universal. This says that there are certain things that must be believed. Look at verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe. This is not an exhaustive creedal statement. This is just an example. Must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Those are essential doctrines. If you don't believe that about God, that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him, then you haven't got real faith. You haven't got biblical faith. This is not a chapter about the importance of believing something. There are certain things that must be believed because they are true. Francis Schaeffer said there's only one reason to believe the Christian message, and that is because it's true. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, if Jesus Christ isn't risen from the dead, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In fact, he says, if Jesus Christ has not been raised, and there is no resurrection, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are to be pitied more than all men. These people were suffering for their faith. And they were not told that suffering is an aberration. Okay? We want you to know it's not going to be like this for long. It's all going to work out, and you're going to get that job. You're going to get that promotion. You're going to get that car. You're going to be able to live in that neighborhood. All the things that you have set your affections on, they're all going to come true for you if you just believe. Just believe. You got to have faith. That is not what this is about. That is a garbagey counterfeit. This is written to people who had lost their houses, their jobs. And he describes elsewhere in this letter, I want to remind you, I believe you're going to do the right thing because I remember how you joyfully accepted even the confiscation of your property and how you went to visit those who were in prison for their faith. I mean, that's what this is about. No matter what it costs. When I was a little kid living in the suburbs outside Chicago, we sang a chorus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. And it seemed like the worst thing that could happen is that if we followed Jesus, we might not be popular. Well, that chorus has a different tenor to it in mainland China right now. This summer, we had a Chinese family of four living in our home with us. He's in seminary up in Louisville. And their church in China was bulldozed by our friends in government there. And when they no longer had their building and they started meeting in homes, the police came and raided the homes and told them they couldn't do that anymore. That has a little different feel, doesn't it? That's not about being popular. The things that we are called to believe are things that will cost us. And so biblical faith is not just essential, and it's not just cognitive and creedal. It is confessional, not just in what we say, but in how we live. And the whole chapter is about person after person after person who lived a life of faith. And we look at them and we say, yes, I want to be like that. Well, let's start with the first one in the list, shall we? His name was Abel. That's the first example given. We all remember Abel, don't we? God had provided the first sacrifice. He covered Adam and Eve's nakedness with animal skins. In order to do that, the animals have to die. The reason is because the wages of sin is death. And a sacrifice was a blood sacrifice. It required the death of a substitute. All those sacrifices were to point to Jesus, the one who would be offered as the sacrifice on our behalf. He would die in our place, taking upon himself God's wrath, which we deserve. So when Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel, and it was time to worship God with sacrifice, Abel did what God required. And he offered from his flock a blood sacrifice. Cain didn't have his own flock. He was raising produce. And so he offered God something else. There's nothing to suggest that it wasn't nice stuff. But he thought that nice stuff would be a substitute for obedience. And it's not. Biblical faith is obedience. It's not just acknowledging what God says, it's doing what God says. And the only perfect sacrifice that would ever be offered in the history of this planet is the one God provided in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. But all the other sacrifices were supposed to point to that. Now, Abel did the right thing. Cain did not. What happened to Abel? He died. How did he die? He was murdered. By whom? His brother. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, now here's the thing. According to the Bible, you and I are supposed to want to be like Abel. How many of you would like for your kids to turn out like Abel? I'd really like for them to turn out like Seth. Okay. See, we want the good kid who doesn't get killed for his faith. How would I feel if one of my kids embarked on a path of obedience that had a high possibility of resulting in his death? The first example we're given here of obedient faith is a guy who lost his life doing what God told him to do. That's our first example. What is going on? Is God just cruel? Does he just like to toy with us? No, God wants to teach his people to have faith. He wants to put us in situations not in order to scare us, but to give us courage and teach us not to be afraid. And case after case, all the way through this, one after another, if you examine the stories carefully, if you don't just remember the name and say, oh yeah, that turned out okay, these people didn't know how it was going to turn out when they were in the middle of the story. Do you understand that Job had never read the book of Job? Right? I mean, when we are going through really tough stuff, we think, well, you know, at least I'm not going through what Job went through. But Job did go through what Job went through. Oh, well, look, you know, you go to the end of the book, it turns out all right. Here's the thing. You and I can go to the end of the book and it turns out all right. Read what happens. He's going to reign forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords. We know how it turns out because God has given us his word, but we still have to have faith. We are required by God to believe what he says despite what our circumstances feel like. That's the call for us as Christians. That's the demand that God puts on us. Biblical faith is a relational faith. It's not just believing in a statement. It's believing in God's word because it's God's word. It's because he has revealed himself in his word and shown us Jesus. And in light of what Jesus has done, dying for us and then conquering death, no matter what comes, we don't have to be afraid. If you have Jesus, you have everything. And if you don't, you have nothing. And biblical faith is a relational faith where the reason it's about his word is because it's his word. Your confidence is in him. And so whatever comes, by God's grace, you can endure it. Because he says you can. And he will never leave you or forsake you. Whatever comes, no matter how painful, no matter how scary, no matter how difficult, no matter how long, he will see you through. Here's the thing. I know what happens because God says so in his word. All these people died in faith because God's intention was that they would find their completion in what is yet to come. And you and I can live with boldness and confidence and peace that passes understanding if we really believe the good news. The good news is that he didn't come just to give us the opportunity for salvation. He came to save us. And what he did on the cross accomplished what he came to do. Jesus said, it is finished. And so you and I need to repent and believe the good things.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.